Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, as it says on your service folder, is Quinquagesima, the 50th day before Easter, exactly. Just as we look back toward Easter from the 50th day after Easter, which we know as Pentecost, so today we look 50 days forward toward Easter. Why? Because the church year centers around Easter. Because the Christian life centers around Christ's suffering and death and resurrection as the source of our life. So today we look forward, peering over the season of Lent, as it were, which begins this Wednesday, Ash Wednesday, with Easter waiting in the distance at the end. But we might as well not even bother with Lent or Holy Week or with Easter itself unless we turn to the Lord for understanding, for insight, for spiritual growth, for the grace of seeing Christ, even without being able to see Him. For that grace, we naturally turn to the Word of God, the Holy Spirit's instrument for enlightening eyes that are blind by our own natural powers. In the Gospel, Jesus teaches His disciples very plainly about all that is to come. He took the 12 aside and said to them, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. For He will be delivered to the Gentiles, and will be mocked and insulted and spit upon. They will scourge Him and kill Him, and the third day He will rise again." But they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not know the things which were spoken. Jesus predicts all that would happen to Him. He outlines His suffering, all of which we'll hear about during Holy Week, how it all actually played out just as Jesus said it would. And instead of trying to avoid it or trying to change it or run away from it, He makes it clear that He is knowingly about to walk right into it. We are going up to Jerusalem. Why? Because mankind is doomed. Man has already destroyed himself. He is born and lives under God's condemnation. There's no restoring humanity. There's no hope of the human race evolving or becoming better, of overcoming its sinfulness, of escaping death and what comes after death, of approaching the holy God who thundered down His Ten Commandments from Mount Sinai. Only the suffering and death of the Son of God, who is also the Son of Man, can serve as the remedy. Only the suffering and death of God's innocent Son can reconcile sinners to God. So Jesus, with mankind's salvation as His sole purpose, prepares to offer Himself. We note that Jesus prophesies also how it will all end after His death, which is usually the end, but not this time. It will end, in this case, with His resurrection on the third day. He told His disciples plainly, it's a foregone conclusion. He will conquer sin, death, and the devil. But even Jesus' own disciples, His apostles, who had spent the better part of 3 years with Him, even His disciples who heard Jesus' plain words spoken to them about what was about to happen, can't see it. It was hidden from them, it says. Now, looking back we can see some of God's purpose in hiding it from them so that they didn't really understand what Jesus was saying, so that Judas, one of the 12, could go through with his plan to betray Jesus and the others wouldn't somehow try to stop him, so that Jesus would suffer alone, without the understanding of anyone on the face of the earth, so that the disciples might learn to trust in Jesus even without understanding, and so that we could benefit from all of it. See what comfort there is in the disciples' own lack of understanding. Those who should have understood the most understood the least. For those times when you don't understand what God's Word is plainly saying, when you don't understand why the Son of God allows Himself to be so despised and hated in the world, when you don't understand how His body, the church, must suffer on earth, when you don't grasp that it really will be okay in the end, both for Jesus and for you, His dear church, well, others have been there before. Pillars of the church, even. What do you do in those times? Just do what Jesus' own disciples did. Just keep following Jesus anyway. Stay close to Him. Keep listening to Him. Keep asking the Lord to open the eyes of your understanding. He will do it, maybe now, maybe later, to give you the grace of seeing Christ, even though you can't see Him. Just as He literally did with the blind man in our gospel. 3 of the 4 gospels include this account near the city of Jericho, as Jesus was approaching Jerusalem for the last time to suffer. The other evangelists tell us that there were actually 2 blind men there begging. One of them was named Bartimaeus. And so we know this blind man in our gospel as Bartimaeus from the other gospels. Bartimaeus can't see, but he uses his working sense of hearing, which is even better than seeing when it comes to spiritual things. As it says, faith comes by hearing. He hears the commotion surrounding Jesus' procession toward Jerusalem that's growing as the crowd grows around him, and he gets an explanation from someone about what's going on. And someone must have told him, well, Jesus is passing by, and we think He's the Son of David, which means the Christ. It was another title for the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the promised descendant of David, who would rule over God's people forever and bring salvation. Well, hearing that was all it took. Immediately he cried out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And in that cry, what we can see is that the blind beggar could see better than all of the seeing people around him. Bartimaeus calls out for mercy from the Son of David. Just like that, he believed the word he heard about Jesus. That's how powerful the word of God is. No one convinced the blind man that this must be the Christ, that this Jesus is the Christ. The word of God took care of all of it, and quickly in this case. He believed through that simple word. Bartimaeus was given the grace of seeing Jesus, even though he couldn't yet see Jesus. And because he believed, he spoke. He reasoned, if this is the Son of David, then he has come to help. He has come to save. Well, I need help. I need saving. And here he is. So, I'll ask him for help. Bartimaeus hadn't spent those 3 years with Jesus as his disciples had. He heard only what the people were saying about Jesus. And then, as one who had nothing but the word to go on, to live on, he begged, "Have mercy on me, Jesus, Son of David." And that's what true faith always does and only does. It begs for mercy in any and every form. Mercy because you're sinful and you need forgiveness. Mercy because you're sick or dying. Mercy because you need something that no one can provide but God Himself. A true believer in Christ knows how desperate his situation always is, how he has nothing spiritually, and also depends on God for everything physically. Even when you don't know exactly what it is you need, the cry, "Have mercy," is always appropriate. In every account of the Gospels, the crowd warns the blind beggar to be quiet. Not unlike the world around us that calls us foolish for praying to God, for being in a church on a Sunday morning, for even believing in God at all in our enlightened age of science. But what the crowd did was arguably even worse than what the atheists do today. Imagine believing that Jesus is, in fact, the Son of David, as the crowd claimed to believe, and then trying to silence the one who is calling on the Son of David for help. Is that the patience? Is that the long-suffering? Is that the love that the Apostle Paul wrote about in today's epistle? Well, not at all. As Paul wrote, "Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things." But the crowd was unwilling to endure even the genuine faith-filled cries coming out of the blind beggar calling after Jesus for mercy. But no one can actually silence his cries because he believes. If he believes in Jesus, why would he ever stop crying out for mercy? Why would you? No, the beggar knew Jesus better than the crowd knew him. He knew love better than the crowd knew love. Love enabled him to hope all things from Jesus. And love enabled him to endure all things from the crowd. Love which flowed from faith. Well, Jesus asks him what he wants. The man is a beggar, after all, accustomed to asking passers-by for help, for mercy. He's been crying for mercy, which could refer to anything. Maybe he's only looking to Jesus for a handout, for a bite to eat, for a little bit of money. Maybe that's what the crowd thinks too. So Bartimaeus spells it out, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." And the Lord grants his request. "Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well." Because anyone could have given him a little bit of money. Anyone could have given him a bite to eat. But only Jesus could cure his blindness. And once again, we're taught the simple truth, faith alone saves. Because faith relies on God's promise to be merciful through Jesus, the Son of David. Only through Jesus does God provide the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Well, then Bartimaeus glorified God and followed Jesus. And it appears that he didn't just follow him for this day, but that he kept following him afterwards, because the very fact that we know Bartimaeus' name from the other Gospels is a strong indication that he became a part of that first church formed by the apostles after Jesus' suffering and death and resurrection. And still today, Bartimaeus has helped us as we prepare to follow Jesus toward the cross and toward the resurrection, both his and ours. He's reminded us how blind we are by nature to the things of God, but how powerful the Word of God is to open the eyes of faith. So take the extra time during the Lenten season to hear God's Word every Sunday and in our midweek services every week, and to study it in your homes, and not only to hear it and to study it, but to ponder it too and take it to heart. Bartimaeus has reminded us what we're doing here, following Jesus, that the Christian life is not meant to be a triumphal procession toward earthly glory, but a constant cry for mercy in our great need, and a constant supply of mercy from Jesus through his means of grace. So pray earnestly during this Lenten season, and don't let anyone deter your prayers. Finally, Bartimaeus has reminded us that our following of Jesus must be characterized by faith that acts through love. As you follow Jesus to the cross and to the resurrection, both his and yours, remember to look up and see your fellow Christians in their need, and to have mercy on them with whatever help you have to give. And even though you can't see Christ now, may God, through his word, grant you the grace of seeing him, for he is there. May God grant you the grace to see him over these next 50 days as we walk through Lent toward Easter, to, as the writer to the Hebrews says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. In his name, amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.